with sleeping areas, meeting spaces, a kitchen, library, and even a live streaming media center. The occupation of Zuccotti Park in Lower Manhattan is blossoming into a full-fledged community with no intention of leaving anytime soon. Under gleaming skyscrapers and a stone's throw from Wall Street, protesters cuddle up on air mattresses and eat donated vegan dinners while browsing through the encampment's own newspaper, the occupied Wall Street Journal.
It's been actually really, really good. It's been tiring, it's been rough, but morale is high, and it's a very motivating experience. So I will say it's really good despite the hardship.
That's Casper, a 19-year-old student from Brooklyn who has been sleeping in the park for almost 3 weeks since the occupation began.
It's very tedious setting up for like the rainy nights, and you never know when it's going to rain, so you're more apt to set up for rain, even if it's not, because next thing you know, you end up waking up and you're soaked, or your stuff is soaked. That's I would say, the hardest.
Other logistics for the encampment, like providing 3 meals a day for a growing mass of protesters, has not been as much of a problem. Galen Prowley came to Occupy Wall Street from Seattle, Washington, and volunteers daily in the park's makeshift kitchen.
On a standard day, probably Monday through Thursday, it's probably 400 for breakfast, 600-800 for lunch, and maybe 1,000 plus for dinner. Probably, I'd say right now, it's probably about 2,000 meals a day.
Donations from sympathizers for food, sleeping bags, and other supplies have poured in from the group's website, occupywallstreet.org. And they've set up a mailbox down the street at the local UPS store.
More than generous from around the world, from Egypt to New Zealand, all four corners of the U.S., and everywhere you could think of. Primarily serve a vegan and vegetarian fare. It just tends to be more the liking of people here.
In the center of Zuccotti Park, right next to the cafeteria, is Occupy Wall Street's 24-hour news center, a station of a half dozen laptops on folding tables, where the movement creates their own online media through their website, blog, and social networking, the centerpiece being a 24-hour live streaming webcam. Nathan Schneider is an editor with Waging Nonviolence who has been helping to coordinate media for Occupy Wall Street.
From the beginning, the media strategy was to make our own, where people from around the world can tune in and watch what's happening as it happens, and watch other footage that's archived from over the course of the days. And watch they have. I mean, it's been thousands of people at any one time are watching the live stream. They're chatting as they do. They're talking on Twitter. And then that's another element. There's a ton of social media happening.
In addition to online media, 50,000 copies of the encampment's print newspaper, the Occupied Wall Street Journal, is now being distributed throughout Manhattan and at Zuccotti Park's new lending library, the People's Library. Mandy Henk is a librarian who came to the protest from Greencastle, Indiana, to volunteer.
Okay, so the way that we've got it organized right now is people are bringing in donations, and we're getting a lot of donations right now. And I've got the books organized by politics and economics, history and books of resistance, and then we've got miscellaneous nonfiction, lots of poetry, plays, fiction, children's, and then we have a special section for anarchist literature, and we're actually organizing to make sure some of that gets over to NYU to their leftist archive. Plastic buckets are so that when it rains, they don't get wet. Before, they were in cardboard boxes, and that didn't work so well.
One thing the Occupy Wall Street encampment is lacking is a bathroom. Thus far, the group has been relying on the generosity of local businesses. Again, Galen Prowley.
Teach their own how far they want to travel. McDonald's has been more than generous with lending us their facilities and not requiring that people buy products in order to use the restrooms, which has been terrific seeing as how they're in such close proximity. Joe's Cafe down the street has been exceptionally nice as well as far as helping to give us free water and accessing their restroom facilities. We've had a couple of small issues. Burger King has chosen to quit serving us almost collectively as a group.
As the encampment becomes more established as a movement, more and more people have stopped by to lend support. Over the weekend, the vice president of New York City's transportation union, Angel Gibouye, stopped by.
The idea is to meet up like this and start educating the crowd about what's going on in America, where, you know, corporate management and the politicians are actually waging a war against the public sector workers, and that's what we need to get out there, because through education, then we can get organization. This is about, you know, protecting the jobs here in America and stop shipping them overseas and actually getting people here to work, you know, with minimum wage or lower than minimum wages.
As protests sprout up across the country, inspired by Occupy Wall Street, the protesters vow to stay and build upon their momentum. Robert Camiso has been coming to the park from Brooklyn every day for over a week.
I see it growing beyond this park, which I think will be a challenge to the police and the powers that be, because once you have a group of people united, it becomes very difficult to contain an idea.
Occupy Wall Street's next major march will be tomorrow afternoon at City Hall, and has attracted the support of community groups and labor unions from across New York City. Meanwhile, protesters announced at Saturday's General Assembly meeting in Zuccotti Park that they will be using a portion of their $35,000 in donations to prepare for a long winter outdoors in Manhattan. Kelly Benjamin, FSRN, New York City.